We're stuck where we are.
Is this thing moving?
No house, no car. We are castaways.
This is Amanda's favorite song at the moment.
I think we broke Amanda.
No.
No. No. All right. Hello. I am Amanda Wacker.
Hola. I am Lenise Castro.
Swadika. I'm Asama Lekboa.
And we are the triplicates. Welcome to the 12th of many episodes of our triplicate podcast. We are three first-gen women of color, currently in our first year of our PhD program at the University of California, San Diego.
Last episode, we talked about the Student Researchers United efforts to form a union across all University of California campuses. And I am happy to inform you that they just turned in the union authorization cards to PERB recently. So that's super exciting. And congrats to all those graduate student researchers. We also discussed a bit about the rent hike situation here at UC San Diego and other UC campuses. Today's episode is going to be a bit of a change of pace. It's just going to be us three, like the old times.
Yay! Not just us three. You get to hear from the three of us.
It is us three.
A lot of reframing. Therapy is working.
But what is the topic of today's episode, Asama?
So this episode, we wanted to tell you which labs we have joined.
Woo! Yay! Okay, also, I would like to just like start at the top by two things. One, if you are a UC researcher, graduate student researcher, you can still sign an authorization card and you can go on the SRU UAW website to learn how to do that. If you are like, yeah, I want to do this, I support y'all, you can still do that. Two, not only are we three best friends, we're three best friends who are also funded on an NIH T32 grant. So go us.
Yeah, we're rolling in dough. Kind of. Invisible dough.
And it doesn't, I was trying to explain this to somebody and it's like, oh, so they pay you? And it's like, no, they pay my boss.
But yeah, it was super nice to, one of our PIs is like, congrats, the triplicates are all now funded.
Yeah.
And it was so cute. I love when people call us the triplicates.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Okay.
I wonder which PI.
Oh, no. Anyways, I guess we'll figure it out.
Okay. Does anyone want to give us life updates first? What lab did you join? Asama.
If you remember, I rotated in four different labs this year, and I had a really good time in all of the labs. I learned a lot. I mainly focused on microbiology and viruses, and I decided to join a lab with Professor Alistair Russell. Woo! Yay! And we study how the cell innate immune response tells you that there is a virus. And I'm particularly interested in how influenza, which is caused by, you know, the flu, caused by the influenza virus, has been around for a long time. And for some reason, we just haven't really figured out all the tips and tricks that it employs to, you know, get at humanity. So I'm super interested in how viruses are so tricky. Yes, question.
I have a question. Yes, thank you, Osama. Great talk. I saw on the internet that the flu is older than humans. Is that true?
I feel like I would believe that. Okay. Yeah. Because
okay, like, not confirmed, but like maybe.
Yeah.
Like Homo sapiens. They were probably an other Homo something or another.
Okay, here's my trend of thought.
Okay.
Since they are genetically simpler than us,
yeah,
the chances of them coming to existence is greater in like a shorter time span.
Sure.
And since the flu has been known to infect like birds and other organisms, mm-hmm. then it would not surprise me that they have been around and like plaguing other types of hosts before humans came to existence.
Imagine a flu infecting a dinosaur.
Do they get runny noses? Could you imagine? What would a dinosaur sneeze sound like?
Anyways. So that's me. Yeah. What about you, Lanise?
Well, if you remember back to like the first few episodes that we talked to you guys, with you guys.
Together here.
Kumbaya. I spoke about how my background is in microbiology, specifically bacteriology. So all the labs, all the me in a lab coat science stuff that went on in undergrad was mainly focused on like the microbiome and bacteria and fish gut microbiomes or how bacteria divides. Well, sometimes you don't know exactly what you want to do and you want a change of pace. And so this time around, when I was shopping around for a lab, or shall we say dating around for a lab.
Throwback.
Throwback to our dating episode. I'm just feeding you episodes, y'all. Go
watch. If you haven't watched them, just go back to wherever you found this and scroll down. You know? Yeah.
I was looking for something a little bit different, still in the realm of microbiology, but I took some classes in undergrad that I found really interesting, which one was virology, and there was a specific lecture on genetic diversity of viruses, which was dope.
Ooh.
And also, I took parasitology, which got me excited for like host pathogen interactions.
Parasites.
So coming into the PhD, I was like, maybe that's what I want to do. And so I actually rotated in 3 out of the 4 labs Asama also rotated in.
Yes.
And 2 of the labs Amanda did. We had a lot of crisscrossies. anyways, I joined a virology lab that studies the evolution of viruses and hosts and how essentially our immune system and viruses are in this genetic war, and I imagine it as a virus holding a sword and us holding a sword, but at a microscopic level. But yeah, anyways, that being said, long spiel. I joined Matt Doherty's lab here at UCSD.
Yay! Love that. Yeah. And we're technically like lab...
Don't say cousins.
Neighbors. Neighbors in what we study, and also we used to have joint lab meeting, and we have journal clubs together.
So cute.
So mm-hmm. I'll be seeing Lanise on the internet until it's safe to be in person. Oh my gosh, kids. Today we had like 5 people in the lab, which is like the most there has ever been.
Yeah. You have to realize when we rotated, there's the PI, Marissa, shout out to Marissa, the lab manager.
Yes.
And one of the rotation students.
Yeah.
Yes. It was teeny tiny.
I know.
And I'm so happy for you and for Alistair.
Yes. Congrats. And we also have 3 undergrads who are doing computational work.
Yes. We love to see
who might also be interested in doing lab work. So we're growing really fast.
Oh.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Like virus level.
Oh, no. Not the virus level.
I need to get better at puns.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, Amanda is not even on our campus,
bro. So I joined a lab at the Salk Institute, which is down the road. And some of the professors at Salk have this like joint appointment with UCSD, which lets students like me go work at this big institute and still be a PhD student at UCSD, technically. Mm. So the lab I joined, let me like start from the beginning. If you guys recall, and if you don't, you can go listen to our previous episodes. So I did a bunch of rotations that are like outside of my field. So like in undergrad, I did cardiac biology and like some immuno stuff, some neuro stuff, but like mostly cardiac bio. And I decided I didn't really want to be doing like mouth surgeries anymore. Mm. So I was like, let me do all the things that are like alive, but not multi-organ systems. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, bacteria. And I did like fungus and cyanobacteria and yeast and then viruses. And I was like, okay, one more thing after that. And I took
Hitting all the kingdoms.
I did. I hit all of them. yeah. So I did 5 rotations actually. Linus and Asama only did 4, mm-hmm. which is like the minimum required. So I did an extra. And I rotated at a lab that does DNA origami. And yeah, so DNA origami is really cool. And they use it as a tool to study DNA interacting enzymes. And it's a lot of like biophysics and like biochemistry and stuff. I don't know. I never really had given myself the opportunity to learn about. So yeah, the lab is the Pallav Kasori lab at Salk. He's a brand new PI. I'm like the first grad student. And I think he's a really great mentor. And I think we're going to have so much growth come out of this like relationship, this like mentorship that I have with him. And it's going to be so good.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think that was like the biggest push. Like, I think I had like the best like connection with him. And I feel very comfortable telling him like, yo, this is what I need. And this is like what I don't like, or like things that I think we can improve on. Mm-hmm. And we had like a planning meeting, and we set like some goals that like we think we agreed on, like both of us talked about, like for me to grow as a scientist and as a student for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. And like after that, I don't know, I felt so much better about, you know, like you join the lab and you're kind of just like, okay, well, like what now? Oh my God, I have to do a project. Like what is going on? Like it was very nice to be like, okay, like I think by September we could get this and this done. And if not, like, we'll revisit like what's going on. But he was like, oh, I think we can get data by August. And like the way my eyes like opened, I was like, August? This August? It seems really fast. So I'll be doing some DNA origami studies on, I think we're going to start with like CRISPR or something. But I haven't really decided like the structure we're going to use to look into that, but like I don't know, we'll see by August, I guess. Yes, Lenny's question.
So when you say DNA origami, I think of like little birds, of paper origami. How does that translate into DNA?
Yeah, so this is like I explained it to my brother earlier today. So if you have a piece of origami, it's made from one single sheet of paper, and you fold it in a very specific way to like get the shape. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we take viral genomes. So, you know, our genome is double-stranded DNA. Viral genomes are single-stranded DNA, and they're also one big circle. So what we do is we get little DNA sections, like, I don't know, like maybe they're like teeny tiny. Like, if a virus genome is like 7,000 bases, we'll do like bases of like 42 for our like staple strands. Like they're very small. And what we do out of those 42, like that DNA section, what we get is 20 bases match up with some part of the genome, like, you know, the A to the T and the C to the G.
Yes, you got it.
That whole thing. So we'll put 20 bases to match some sequence in one part of the genome, and then the other 20 bases will match some section of the genome a little bit further down. So like not right next to each other. And what that does is it like physically brings these two parts of the genome closer together. So like imagine you're like pinching a hair tie and making it come closer. So you just do that 128 times and then you get a shape. So that's DNA origami. It's like basically like the sky is like the limit, or like your creativity is the limit of how you like can fold this thing, and you can make 3D shapes and people make rotors and like virus capsids and all this stuff with it. So it's really just like, how creative can you be?
Yeah. Wowee. That's exciting. I'm so excited for you. You're going to learn so much.
I'm going to learn so much. I'm already learning a lot. We did math for like 2 hours today. So.
No. I guess Amanda kind of talked about how mentorship was really the key and being excited about new research mm-hmm. was also a component to why you decided to join the Kasori Lab. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, Asama, we talked about what our lab does and mm-hmm. whose lab we joined, but mm-hmm. I guess, is there any mm-hmm. other, like, hard, why? Like, why as to why you joined the Russell Lab?
Yeah. So I really think that, you know, I'm intrigued by how, like, pathogens, so, like, bacteria, virus, anything can, like, figure out a way to take advantage of their host or, like, you know, propagate themselves and go on. Even though they're so simple, like, I just think that's so cool. And I also see that in the Russell Lab, like, in Alistair and Marissa, in, like, all my conversations with them. And I think, to quote our previous episode, the vibe check was yes. that these are my people and aww. That, like, I could talk to them about science. I can ask them something that I'm confused about. I can ask them the same question, like, a million times. I can propose an idea and there's no, like, oh, you're the newest person. You're just, you know, a rotation student. Like, we're not going to listen to you. Like, that was not the case in this lab. And I really like that. And I find myself seeing the environment that worked well for me in biotech before coming to grad school in this lab. So I kind of knew, like, this is the sort of work environment that I really like. And I saw it the most in this lab. So I really liked it. Also, when I was rotating, I was really struggling with handling all these news of the increase in, like, violence against, like, people of color, especially Asian Americans. And I was able to be very honest and open about that to the people in my lab. And I didn't feel like I had to hide my emotions or, like, set aside a part of my identity and just pretend like, you know, science is not about its people. So I think having the opportunity to, you know, surround myself with people who not only are as excited about the same type of science that I'm excited about, but also people who are so caring was a really good opportunity or a really good rotation. So now I, you know, I was like, I want more of this.
You found your forever home.
Aww. Aww. Which is weird because, like, I don't like calling anything forever home because I'm a Buddhist.
My five ever home?
Yeah. Maybe.
What?
Like, we'll 5 years?
Oh, yeah. Five ever home.
We'll see.
Or less.
She's trying to get out of here.
Are y'all not?
I mean, yeah.
I think I'm very okay with going slow, actually. I don't want to be stressed. Like, I would rather take another 6 months than be, like, stressed. Yeah.
I think I'm smack dab in the middle of y'all. Preferably 5 years and dip.
You know, as you continue your training, you just find kind of like your flow in things.
Yeah.
So you will surprise yourself.
I guess that's what we're doing, essentially. Yeah. We're learning.
Yeah. I think I just have to be in charge of my own time and then I'll be okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Other people stress
me. Are you listening? You know. Anyways, what about you, Lanise?
Yes,
tell
Lanise.
Us about the dirty lab.
I feel like Amanda and Asama were sick of me saying all these nice things about the dirty lab. Because after my second rotation, I was like, wow. Like, I knew that it was the place for me, but I didn't want to let my, like, give my hopes up or anything because, I don't know, they were having many other great scientists walk through their doors.
Asama and I.
Yes.
I mean, how could you choose?
And I wanted everyone to find their five ever home. So it was a little stressful, but honestly, just like, I guess it's like similar to Asama. I found a lot of aspects of the lab culture and the vibe to fit kind of what I wanted out of my 5 years here. I am a perpetually stressed person. I walk in a room and I say, I'm stressed.
Yes.
Yeah. And thankfully, my PI, maybe he doesn't know this, but I feel like he calms me down. But at the same time, knows when to be like, Let's get excited.
He also knows when to be like, hey, Lanice, are you okay? And it's nice to be asked if I'm doing okay with classes and lab and just life, because it can be a lot sometimes. So yeah, similar things. I feel heard in the lab. And not just by my PI. I think everyone that works in the lab before I got there is super cool and so funny. Honestly, just vibes. Like I feel like I can go grab lunch with them.
I really like that Lanise has multiple custom emojis.
What do you mean?
Like you have the one with the bird, and then you have the one with like...
I have another one.
Your hand thing, like the...
The one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Our Slack channel, poppin'. Thank you, Dustin, for all those little party parrot emojis.
They have like hundreds.
There's so many.
Apparently 21. But they encompass everything. My favorite one was when we got our funding and they congratulated Amanda. And it was the parrot emoji with money just swirling around his head. Yes. I was like, yes.
What a mood.
Wow.
But yeah, isn't it crazy, guys?
We're like, so cool.
We're actually doing a PhD now in a thesis lab, and we have to sit and think for long periods of time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think on a hammock. Sometimes you think at the beach.
Yeah.
Today, I was like, oh, how did this come up? We were talking about lab safety, of course.
Yeah.
And Alistair's my PI. Alistair pointed out that the safety kit thingy that was near us last time when he went to look for Band-Aids, like, did not have, like, the good ones. And then I asked, oh, do they have painkillers? And I said, no, but we should buy our own. Like, I'm happy to provide these things. And I feel like I didn't even have to explain that why I need painkillers.
Yeah.
Because he knew. And then he said that I'm happy to sit down with everyone to talk about, like, where are some lab supplies, personal supplies that we can provide.
That's so nice.
Say hair ties. It's a day.
And I was like, I was going to be like super embarrassed to say like, oh, like in case I get like cramps and stuff. But like, I did not have to say that. So I feel like that was good.
I love that.
I was like just going to bring stuff. Like I didn't even think about like, oh, let me ask my PI. I was just like, I like basically moved in. Like, all my stuff is just in the lab now.
Yeah,
I was thinking about this today because today I forgot a hair tie. And for those that don't know, I have long hair. And I was trying to put it in a bun without a hair tie. Just like, you know,
like
just
twisty
do
things
twisty or... things. Yeah. And then the postdoc, which is currently other than one of the two of the undergrads that come in consistently, the only other female in the lab that comes in. Mm-hmm. She's like, do you need a hair tie? And I was like, yes. But like, I don't know. It'd be cool to add those things too. You should tell us. Like hair ties and other things females need.
Because if we can shell out money for ping pong tables, like why can't we buy things that actually help improve the work conditions?
Yeah.
Health related and like gender related things.
That's actually a great point. Like, mm-hmm. Other than Pallav, everyone else is a woman in our lab. There's like 10 of us.
Yes!
So maybe we should get things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring it up at lab meeting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Get PIs who listen.
Yeah.
And see you as a colleague.
Yeah.
I love that for us. I think we've all found that.
Yeah. Time to go cry now.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I was doing something and Pallav wanted to like make sure that it was like I was okay. It was like my first time doing the protocol.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, can you do this? Like, help, like, move this thing here. And he's like, yeah, I'll be your assistant today. And I was like, oh, how the tables have turned.
That is so cute.
Yeah. It was nice.
Yeah. I love when I'm learning, like, a new machine or program and I'm not, like, the student behind, like, trying to look at the screen and, like, see which buttons get pushed. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like being at the forefront and like try to figure things out, and then I get like some assistance or like some guidance.
Yeah. I think you learn better that way. Yeah. Like it's like first person versus being like
one. And that also shows that they trust you to drive, which is big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I used a 12-channel pipetter. That's just like $1,000, bro.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh. So I did not learn until industry where I had to like buy my own things that like multi-channels.
You have to buy your own pipetters?
No, but using the company card.
Oh, okay.
But I got to buy like everything. Yeah. Anyways, I remember one time I like dropped a multi-channel in undergrad and one of the tooth channel thingies like came apart and I was like, oh no, oops. And then I remember my mentor Phil was just like, oh no, bummer. And he was just like, oh darn. And he was like filling out a form or something like to get it fixed. But he did not say like, oh, you did this bad thing. This is expensive. How could you not know? He was just like, that's okay.
Yeah.
And then I learned later that that thing cost like $1,500. Yeah. So thank you, Phil. I know he listens.
I think that's like the important thing is like when the thing is like having someone who's learning in the lab and like even like grad students and still maybe postdocs too, if it's like that's not their field, they're still like learning how to do everything. They're going to make mistakes. And the thing is to like just accept that mistakes are going to happen and just not be like mean about it or blame anything. Like just be like, oh, that's okay. Like we'll figure it out. Like it'll be fine. Even if it costs like a couple $1,000s, that's like the price of teaching.
All right. So let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors before we close out the show.
This week, we are sponsored again by Sainted Factory. I am here to tell you guys I love Sainted Factory products. I have the midnight honey oatmeal situation in my shower right now. It's like there's 1/4 of it left because I just slather that thing on my body. It's so good. It smells so good. I feel so soft afterwards. I highly encourage you to go on saintedfactory.com and order yourself some exfoliating foaming scrubs for your self-care Sundays.
Yes. And every day.
Yes, and every day. What scent did you get?
I think I got the lavender.
The lavender, yeah. And you got the like the honey oatmeal.
Yeah, I got too. The same one
as Mm-hmm. I'm about to like buy 3 more. I think they have a sale right now.
Oh, 10% more off. Reason to go.
Yeah.
Check them out, Scented Factory on Instagram.
Yes, follow them on Instagram.
The aesthetic on point.
Anyways, welcome back, everyone. Before we say goodbye, what is advice you would give people who are deciding between labs?
Asama, you look like you were ready to say something.
This is my thinking phase.
Oh, okay.
It's just that my lips are extending. I think my advice is pretty generic. And maybe you've already picked it up in our, you know, during our conversation. But really, the science can be really cool, really exciting in so many places, but it's the people that makes your day-to-day job like you a little brighter or a little kinder. So I would look out for people that you know, to quote Lenise, vibe with.
Oh my gosh.
People you can trust, and especially your advisor, your PI, because you're going to be thought partners together for a while.
For five ever.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully most times you agree and you support each other, but there's going to be some tough times where you don't agree or things get a little difficult. Like, I want you to look for people who are fair, who will listen to reasons and who treat you like a human being. With that, Amanda.
Thank you. Wonderful advice. I agree with a lot of it. I do. I think the lab environment is super important because you do not want to hate going into lab every day for the next 5 years.
Oh my gosh. Imagine.
That would suck. So I think being happy to go to work and like be collaborating with the people you're in lab with, very important. Also agree with what you said about the PI. Like your advisor is going to be, it's going to be you and them for the next 5 years through proposal writing, through qualifying exams, through dissertation writing. Like, it's y'all against academia. So hopefully you got a good person in your corner. I think that's super important.
Yes.
Also, I think someone that you feel comfortable talking to, and I mean talking to, like, saying, I need help. I need you to support me in this way. I feel like this thing that you're doing is a problem for me. Or, like, it's not helping me grow, or like I need this from you. Like, I think that's really important. And I realized the like power in it, like this week of being like, hey, this is what I need from you, and like not being scared to say what I need from them and then getting what I needed. Like that is so, I don't know, it's so good. I feel like I'm going to be okay because I have that environment. So
yes,
that would be my advice.
Ooh. Okay, yeah, same. I'm going to echo a lot of what everyone says because I cannot emphasize enough how important it is. Like, yes, you want to be excited about the science, but when it comes down to it, mentorship is going to be the thing that gets you through not only your PhD, but also really shapes the person and the scientist you are when you go on to do bigger and better things, be it in industry or in academia. So you really want to have a PI because at the end of the day, wherever you end up, postdocs are there for a couple of years, undergrads end up graduating and doing big things of their own, but like your PI is the constant that you have, because sometimes not even your project's constant. Woo-wee. But they're going to be there. They're going to mentor you. So you want to find someone who's going to mentor you in a way that will benefit you the most.
Yes.
Yeah. And you also, even if you join a lab and that's your PI and you're like main mentor during your thesis, a good piece of advice that I've gotten from people going to Zoom seminars and stuff is having a constellation of mentors. If you're in between a couple labs that are like really amazing people, choose a lab that you think is the best fit for you, but still stay in contact with those that maybe isn't the lab you want to join, but you still want them in your corner. You don't just need one sole person in your corner. You can have a good chunk of people. And join a lab where the people greet you with good morning or hi when you walk in.
Yes.
It makes your day, like...
It does.
You feel acknowledged.
I prefer head nods.
Okay. Oh. Or head nods, whatever you prefer, bro.
Osama, you truly amaze me. I love you so much. I think you're such a sweetheart. And
yeah.
I hope you get everything that you reach for.
Oh my gosh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Gonna replay just that part.
Just that part.
Daily affirmations at night, waiting for my centrifuge. Yeah.
No, I look forward to my good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah,
every day.
No, I love good morning, Amanda, and I'm like, good morning.
Oh, mine's like,
yeah,
head nods,
yeah.
And that's then it. My PI, like, waving, like, so hard that he's, like, tilting to the other side.
It's just,
like,
so cute. Excited to see you.
Yeah. So to round out the show, we're going to do some observations. We're going to run some statistics on our data. Have we gotten better at statistics at all in the last 8 weeks?
No.
9 weeks. Is that's not the question, but it should be.
I feel like yes.
You think so?
That's great for you.
Yeah. I think I'm better at being more critical of people's statistics. Am I better of doing the statistics? No. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
We had a midterm and y'all got scores. So
I did do well on the midterm.
I did. Yeah.
So I guess I did learn stuff.
Yeah.
Abstractly.
Evidence based.
I'm dead. Okay. So that was not the question. So right. What was the question, Osama?
Okay, so the question this week is, I'm curious to hear how many PhD students in our study would change anything about their rotations.
How about you lead us in on that one, Osama?
I'm going to say no, because even though my rotations have not been just like smooth sailing, I hit some bumps here and there, whether it's personal or like doing lab things or, you know, getting advised on Zoom. Like, that's really weird. I think I learned a lot about how each lab would deal with, you know, troubles or how they would take care of their students. Or I think it's a really great opportunity for people's humanity to come out. So, yeah, I think I would do it again in that exact setting. What about you, Lanise?
I love that you have no regrets, Osama. But
yeah, I have a chance to actually.
No regrets.
Again, no, in all seriousness. Yeah, in all seriousness, I think
the PIs and the labs that I rotated in were great. I just feel like I, as a person, could have gone into my rotations with a different mindset.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
And I literally what I was going to say.
Yeah. I feel like I've grown from the rotations, and I wish I knew what I wanted from each person before it all. Does that make sense? Like I was learning what I needed from a mentor as I went.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to already know what I needed.
But let's give ourselves some credit.
Yeah.
We came straight out of undergrad.
Yeah. True.
It's like such a different level of like responsibility and like just like the level you have to be at as a grad student. It's like something we'd never experienced before.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, same here. I would do the same rotations with the same PIs. I don't regret any of them, but I would change my mindset. I think at least, especially like the earlier ones, I think I wasn't like pushing myself into my project as much as I could have, or like wasn't, I don't know, digging into like the question as much as I could have, but it was just like, also no one was pushing me, and like I was waiting for someone to do that, and then I realized, oh, no one is gonna do that, and I had to find that within myself, and then after that it was fine. But
a metamorphosis,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah,
I don't know why I had that imagery of Mulan. I think I like associate her with like my like badass role model, and when you said like I had to find that within myself,
it was like Mulan, when will my reflection show?
This reflection,
my forehead reflection.
Copyrighted.
Anyway,
what is that? 33%.
66%.
Oh, it's the other way.
Yeah, the other way.
I got there. I was doing minus math. It's fine.
She's done a lot of math. It's been a long day. So we're going to let that one slide. So 66% of the PhD students in our study would change something about their rotations.
Nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's, what's the p-value on that?
Oh my gosh.
Go.
It's not a well-powered study.
Okay, maybe we did learn things. We did learn things.
I was just thinking about how I should probably ask this to like the cohort too. I'm curious.
I think it'd be
to
great
see.
To see. Let's do it. I'm gonna make a Twitter poll. I'm actually in charge of the class.
Okay, so before we leave you, again, if there's any topic you want to share with us or want to hear from us, please feel free to reach out.
And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at triplicatespod, and you can email us triplicatespod@gmail.com. If you like us, support us on patreon.com/triplicatespod. And with that,
obrigada y chao.
Gracias y adios.
Kavunka. Bye.